Book of James, chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Maybe we'll stop there. So the beginning of this epistle says this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. You know, there was trouble, pressure, persecution, problems, afflictions, suffering, martyring being done, people being killed. And, you know, I believe if I look just a verse or two above this, look at verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know, it looks like that there was very well could have been folks that was thinking about giving up. Folks that felt like the pressure was too great, that the price was too costly, that, you know, I just don't know if I can make it or not. Well, would you say this, that hearing of the story of Job, that if you're saved, you'd like to be like him. You'd like to have the character that he had. You'd like to be able to come out like he come out. Well, for us to come out like he come out, we'll have to go through what he went through. Right? So I believe that's what the latter part of this chapter right here is talking about. That people were in affliction. I realize today that our world, as shallow as it is, that these verses right here is all about fixing a broke arm and cancer and a mental problem and all of the physical ailments. But I don't believe that's what this is about. So let's look at this and let's see what James advises us to do. Is any among you afflicted? So that word means suffering evil or hardship or troubles. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So we've got a resource. We've got a help. We've got a strength. We've got an access unto God through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us to come to him, to come boldly. Peter said, laying all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And we know this, we know that he loves us because he sent his son to this world. And we were in affliction, we were troubled, and we were lost and undone. We were on the road to hell, we were absolutely helpless. And God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And for those that are saved, now he's talking about those that are saved, he's talking about them that, would you look unto Job? We count them happy that endure. We count them very blessed that endure. We count them to be people of God that endure. So are we going to endure? Are we going to stay with it? Are we going to believe God? You know, the devil would like for us to quit. He'd like for us to give up. He'd like for us to think, well, God's not going to hear me. God's not going to answer my prayer. God's not there for me. I feel like I'm just left out. Well, we've got some advice here. If any among you afflicted, are you suffering? Are you having evil around you? Is there trouble? Is there persecution? Is there any? Let him pray. Who should I pray to? How? Where should I look for my help? And you know, I believe that people's going to get to the point. You just look at these verses. They're going to get to the point that they can't even pray for themselves. That's what we're going to see. Is any of you merry? Let him sing songs. What's this about? I tell you what it's about. It's about coming to church. Don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to be silly. But you know what I can find at church? I can find somebody to sing a song to encourage me. I can find somebody that's still praying to God. Though I'm not able, though I feel defeated, I'm going to go down to the church and there's going to be some folks down there that can pray with me and pray for me and help me. There's going to be some folks down there that's not thrown in the towel yet. There's going to be people down there, and he's going to tell us over in Hebrews, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, as you see the day swiftly approaching. You know what? The devil would like for us to quit. The devil would like for everybody to go to the house, and especially don't go down to the church house. Right. You might be encouraged down there. You might be prayed for down there. You might find somebody that's in worse shape than you are down there, and yet they're still serving God, still looking to God, still praying to God, still counting on God. Don't go down to the church. You might be encouraged down there.
Right.
Well, you're at the right place. Thank God for that. You're at the right place. If there's anybody got a song, sing that song. Somebody might need some encouragement. Somebody might need to know that God's still able to make you happy and to make you merry. And if you can't pray, James is going to tell us to call on somebody to come and pray with us. So, is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick? Now, bear in mind, not just a song, but a psalm. We've got a book full of them, right? You know who they were written by? Men. The Psalms were written by men. You think they ever got in trouble and got in affliction and got covered up with sin and did the wrong thing and thought the wrong thing and was under the persecution and even their friends turned against them? I tell you what, we ought to sing a song. We ought to get us a psalm out and find where we might fit into this particular psalm, and we ought to sing it to ourselves and sing it to our neighbor and sing it to our family and let them know that God, I delivered this man right here. God delivered this servant right here, and I believe that same God is able to deliver me. Right. Now, we do count them happy that endure. We're going to have to endure, folks.
Yes.
You know something? You may have a daughter, and you may have a son, and you may have a little grandchild, and you know what? You may be going through some problems and some trouble in your life. I promise you this, they're watching. They're watching to see how you're going to come out. They're watching to see how, if you're going to stay with it or throw in the towel or give up or to say God don't care about me or the Lord's not going to hear my prayer or God just never does come through. They're looking to that. And friend, they're going to base what they believe and where they look to. And if they're going to go to the church house, if they're going to believe in mama's God and daddy's God, I'll tell you something. David had a God that he encouraged Solomon to look to. I believe James is trying to help the church and encourage the church. Any sick among you? Now, he's not talking about the flesh. you just look at this whole epistle and you look at the context of this right here, he's not talking about the flesh. He's not talking about fixing the flesh. I realize that we can have problems in the flesh. And you know what? When I got trouble in the flesh, I'd love for the church to pray for me. But that's not the focus of this right here. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So what should we do? If we're so down and out that we're unable to pray for ourselves, and our song is gone, what should we do? We ought to come to the church, and we ought to ask the elders in the church to come and pray for us. Now, that's the truth. We ought to come, and we ought to ask those that are established. Is he talking about old people? No, I tell you what, we could look over in the book of Job, and the old men fell by the wayside and had the wrong answer. But there was a young fellow there that had the Spirit of God and had the wisdom of God. And friend, there was a young man there that was an elder and was elder in his spiritual understanding. That's who we ought to call on. We ought to call on those that have a spiritual understanding, that's been down the road, that's had affliction, that's had trouble, that's been tried, a friend that's been in the fire, that's been in the flame, that's been refined, a friend, and come along and still serving God. We ought to call them and say, would you come and pray for me?
Right.
Now man's too prideful to ask people to come and pray for him. So God has to turn up more heat and more trouble and more sorrow and more affliction. You know, I could clean my hand and maybe put an antibiotic on it or something. Or I could just leave it alone and leave it filthy and lose my arm, couldn't I? I could come to God. As I see the trouble arising, I could come to God and seek after God on a daily basis. I could come to the Lord, but I say this, thank God, if we get to the place that we can't pray, I thank the Lord there's somebody that still can pray. There's still somebody that can get in touch with God. God still got a church and still got some people that loves one another and loves the church and loves those. I say thank God that there's somebody that had compassion on me. When I was down and out and dragging the bottom and on the road to hell, there was somebody that still cared about me in that condition. We ought to be men and women and boys and girls and people of compassion, a friend to think, I just don't know what to do and I don't know how to do. And I'm just to the point that my song's gone and my prayer's gone. Well, know this, a friend, why don't we call on those that have some spiritual understanding, a friend that has some spiritual insight, a friend that's been tried and true, and friend been to the mill a time or two and believe God and believe the Word of God. Why don't we call on them to come and pray with us and pray for us?
Right.
You afflicted? Are you sick? The Lord's give us a remedy. The Lord's give us some help. And listen, the Lord is our help. But there's hands. There's hands and there's feet that gets to the help, isn't there? I mean, if I break my arm, can I say, God, would you fix that? Or do I go to the doctor and say, could you fix this for me? So the church, the family of God, God has left a church in this world. When we get down and out and we'd like to go on, but we just don't know how to go on, and we feel like we're without strength and don't have a song and don't get unable to pray. He says, if you're sick, he said, call for the elders of the church and have them come and pray with you and pray for you, anointing them with oil. So, what do you reckon that really means there? Does that really mean literally exactly what it's saying, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord? So I want to look at just a few scriptures. In the book of Luke, a very familiar scripture about the Good Samaritan. The Bible said when he found this man that was half dead, now I believe there's spiritual implication in him being half dead, but he took him, and the Bible said that he did this. He went unto him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him into an inn and took care of him. So there's a little picture of some oil being used. Let's look in Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Look at the condition of mankind. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 6. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That word ointment is oil. So there's nothing been done. There's nothing there. And the word mollified, it can mean this. It can mean to soften or to make tender. But think about this, that it can also mean this, to appease the anger or anxiety. A friend, you know what God can do? I tell you, God Almighty can pour in the oil. Our friend, the church can come and anoint our object, anoint our brother, anoint our sister with the oil of gladness, with the oil of God, with the oil of the Holy Spirit, our friend, and encourage and take away the anger and take away the anxiety and, friend, soften the heart and get that heart, our friend, to where it can be moved upon and worked upon and helped and strengthened by the anointing of God Almighty. You know, the Lord would like to help the church. And friend, I realize today, you know, we may not be under the persecution that they were under in the church in James's day. But you know what we're under today? I tell you, we're under sleepiness today. We're under the social media today. We're under busy today. We're under everything else that takes us away from our walk and our talk, our friend, and our relationship with God. Our friend, everything in the world is encroaching upon us. We don't have anybody beating our door down and threatening our life with a gun or with a sword. But I tell you what, slowly, our friend, systematically, our friend, the devil is working on shutting the church down.
Right.
And you and I can get into a place that we can't even pray. So he says, I want you to go down to the church and I want you to call on those that are spiritually, those that are spiritually minded, those that have a song, those that can pray. I want you to call on them to pray for you, anointing you with the oil of the Lord. Do we need that? I believe we need that. We need that. So, again, in Luke, Jesus says this in Luke 7:46. He's down at Simon's house. And you know what he said? He said, Simon, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't do anything. And this woman has come in and not ceased to anoint my head with oil and wash my feet with the hair of her head. What's all this oil about? Let's look in probably one of the most familiar chapters in the Bible. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now you think about this. You think about how that the Bible says here, the psalmist said, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So what's he doing? Thou anointest my head with oil. Who did God fix oil for to anoint them? The high priest, the priesthood, the chosen of God, the people that were intercessors unto God. But look at this verse with me. Thou anointest, now listen to this. Listen to the whole verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now let's think back to James. The devil wants us to quit, doesn't he? You know what God's going to do? In the presence of the devil, in the presence of our enemy, God is going to anoint us. And God, listen to the word, thou anointest my head. Now just think about who gave the prescription for that oil. Who gave the recipe for Moses to make that oil to pour over the head of the high priest? God Almighty gave that recipe. And do you know this? That nobody else, no common man was ever to have that anointing oil on him. But do you know who he gave that to? He gave that anointing oil to be on God's chosen. And friend, as Jessica said this morning, I thank God that He chose me and He chose you. And if He chose you, I want you to know this, He's got some anointing oil to go on you. And friend, you know when He's got it? He's got it to go on you when nobody else, our friend, has got anything. When you've run out and you smell nasty and you look filthy and you feel like you're down and out, praise God, when the enemy's right there at the table, our friend wanting to take your blessing and root you out from your table, place at the table. Thank God the Lord said, I'll anoint you sitting right at the table in the presence of an enemy and I'll make your cup to run over. Amen. I tell you, God Almighty got something for the church today to encourage us and help us along. The psalmist said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence. Now just think about that. What about little old Mephibosheth? A friend lame on his feet. A friend unable to get to the king. But thank God the king sent somebody over there and said, go get him and bring him over here and set him down and let him know this, that he's going to eat bread at my table all the days of his life. As long as he's living, I've got a place for him at the table. I want you to know this, friend. Almighty God's got a place and an encouragement. If you feel afflicted and if you're sick and you can't pray and your song's gone, thank God there's a place to come to how to get some help. Right. Now preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head, my cup with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Now you just think about this. What's the mindset of the psalmist at the beginning of verse number 5. The mindset of the psalmist in verse number 5 and in James chapter 5. Our friend, people, I feel like there's no hope. But the psalmist said this, the Lord prepared a table for me, and friend, right there was the devil. Why, he sure is. And he says, you can't eat at the king's table. You can't get anything from the Lord. You're too dirty, and you're too far gone, and you're of no value. Why, you can't even pray. But he told us. Now let me ask you this. Who prayed for you? Who prayed for you above the church?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Okay then. So do you think that his prayer has gone unheard? That the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, do you think his prayer has gone unheard?
Do you think that he knew that the world would try to roll in on us? Do you think that he was going to save us out of the world? No, ma'am, and no, sir. He wasn't going to save us out of the world. But though we are in the world, thank God he prayed for us. Our friend, he didn't pray for the world, but he prayed for the church. And friend, I want you to know this. The psalmist said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Thank God, you know something. Our friend, when God began to anoint a man and anoint a woman, you know what'll happen? I tell you, friend, that little cup right in here will begin to roll over. And friend, you might have a song again. You might have a prayer again. You might have praise again. Because the church, I can help us when the load gets too heavy to bear. And the Lord has already bore the load. So I don't believe this anointing as a little bottle of olive oil under the pulpit. I don't believe that I need to hide the anointing oil down here. And friend, when somebody needs the church to pray, I'm going to drag out that little bottle. Friend, I'll tell you what we need. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And know this, friend, that God approved the anointing oil. Friend, that it was God Almighty that gave the recipe for it. Friend, and Almighty God said, I want you to use it on Him. You know what I can have? I can have the anointing of God on my life. You can have the anointing of God on your life. Now listen, let's be honest. Can we get to it? If we can't get to it, if we're too frail, if we're too sick, if we're too troubled, if we're too burdened, then we ought to ask the church to come and pray for us, shouldn't we? We ought to ask the church to come and pray with us. And let's ask the church to anoint us. Now just think of what the church is doing. The church is coming to pray, and the church has to be in the place that they've got the anointing on them, friend, and their cup is overflowing, and you would be able to get under the drippings of that, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about. Does it not encourage you? Does it not encourage you when somebody gets up and begins to praise God in the Spirit and the anointing of God? Does that not encourage you? Does that not entice you? Does that not draw you? Would you not say this under your breath and down in your heart? Oh, when the Spirit and the power of God begins to move on somebody, wouldn't you say this? I'd like to have that. So, you know what the anointing is? It's God's approval. God's putting His approval on that life. Are we always going to be on cloud nine? Reckon we're going to get down and out? Reckon we might think about, like Job's wife did, why don't you just curse God and die? You'd be better off. But you know what? We've read the whole book. We see all that he went through. And we see down at the end of the way that God blessed him with 10 more youngins. God blessed him with twice as much as he had to start with. And would you say this? That God blessed Job with wisdom and the anointing that he never would have had he not had that experience, that God Almighty brought him through that. Friend, and that little fella down there, friend, that the elders probably smirked at and looked at it and cast him down as somebody that didn't, probably called him a little know-it-all when he started to speak. And I'll tell you what he had. He had the wisdom of God. There's some help available if you'd be willing to ask for it. There's help. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up.
Now we're not talking about people that's dead physically, and we're not talking about people that are dead spiritually. We're talking about people that are a part of the church, but they're sick and they're down. And the prayer of faith, now here's a man that can't pray for himself. But I tell you what, he's encouraged by the church. He's encouraged by the song that the church has got. And friend, you know what's going to happen? The anointing oil of God is going to fall upon that life. And friend, that man is going to be given faith by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. That man is going to be able to believe again, just like he believed, just like she believed when they were saved and brought into the family of God. There's going to be a revival in there. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Save them from what? Save them from giving up. Save them from throwing in the towel. Save them from the devil. Save them from being defeated. Save them from doubting God. They're going to be raised up. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Now listen to the next verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Is it possible? Have I got sin in my life that's hindered my talk with God? Is there sin in my life that's hindered the anointing of God? Is there sin in my life that's taken away my joy, taken away my song? Well, know this, that God is able to forgive. And thank God we've got an advocate with Jesus Christ. If you sin, you know what he said? He said he was faithful and just to forgive us our sin if we're faithful and just to confess our sin.
That's right.
I don't believe that God wants me to air all of my dirty laundry before you. I'm not interested in hearing about all of your dirty laundry or all of your secret sins. I'm not interested in that. But I tell you what, a humble heart and a willingness to believe this, that I'm just like you are and you're just like I am. And if we had come humbly and earnestly before God, I tell you what God could do. God could restore some joy. God could revive a friend, a heart of prayer. A friend, God could anoint us again. We could smell something besides the field. I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When Jesus came in that day, a friend, and went into that man Simon's house, a friend, and went down and sat down there to eat. Friend, I don't know what he looked like or what he smelled like. And you might say, preacher, you ought not to say that. Well, I know this. I know when he left there what he smelled like. Friend, he smelled like that bottle of oil. Friend, that little widow, what that woman had. Friend, she poured it all out on him. Out of that little alabaster box. Friend, she poured out that spikenard. When he left there, I tell you, he left smelling different than he did when he came. Now you tell me we can come to church and not leave different than the way we came. I tell you that's my fault.
Yes, man.
The church is here to pray. Right here is an altar, and you don't even have to come to the altar, really, literally. This is just a symbolic or a place that we do come out of our head. But I tell you what we can do. We can come to the altar and we can confess our sin. And we could tell the church I've sinned. And we could say I've fallen and I've failed and I've come short. Now listen, when you get done saying that, don't say everybody does. You've not acknowledged your sin. When you get done and you say, I faltered and I failed and I've sinned and I've come short and I've not done what I ought to, friend, but you know something, praise God, there ought to be somebody here that can say, I've not done that this week. Let me help you pray. All right? Is that fair? Don't throw me in your basket. And listen, I'm not saying for one split second that I'm above anybody. I'm not saying for one second that I don't sin. I'm not saying that. But don't get up and confess your sin and say everybody does. If we was all in the same shape as you were, there wouldn't be nobody here to pray, would they? I tell you what, if we confess our faults one to another, If there are sins, they can be forgiven. Thank God we've got an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And He said, I write these things that you sin not, but if you do sin, thank God there's a covering, Kevin. Thank God Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is our propitiation. Thank the Lord. Our friend, you know something? He made something to cover me all the days of my life. That little old animal skin that Adam had, I'd say he probably had to get another one. But I want you to know this, what God Almighty provided is sufficient. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, next week, next month. But know this, if I'm going to endure, I'm going to have to pray. If I'm going to endure, I need somebody to encourage me every now and then. If you're going to endure, you may need somebody to pray for you and pray with you. And you may have to confess your faults and confess your sin. But know this, thank God you can come to the church. And friend, you know what? Everybody that's saved knows this. We all come out of the same pit. You hear me? Well, I've not drunk, and I didn't curse, and I've never smoked dope, and I've never cheated on my wife, and I've never done this. Friend, will you just take your little righteous self and keep your seed? Because I tell you, God Almighty doesn't need any self-righteous hypocrites. Friend, to try to help pray for the church. We need people that knows what it's like. I would have been there. And we were all. And when I see my brother fall, when I see my sister fall, when I see them struggling, we ought to pray for them. And especially when God Almighty burdens their heart and they come and say, church, would you come and pray for me? I ought to be the first to say, yes, sir, I will. Yes, ma'am, I will. I mean it. I mean it from my heart. I want to come. I want to see you brought out of there. I want to see you lifted up. I want to see the anointing of God. I want to see your cup overflowing. Right. Confess your faults. One to another. You know what that can do? That can be an encouragement. I'm not saying that our faults are encouragement. I'm saying this. We're going to get to Elias in a minute. Elijah. You know what the Bible said about him? He was like me. He was like you. He was a man that got hungry. He was a man that was afraid. He was a man that got depressed. He was a man that lost sight of God. He was a man that the world scared him to death. Oh, he said, God, just let me die. He didn't want to die. He didn't more want to die than I want to die. He wanted to play the pity card. Let me tell you this. God knows that you'll play the pity card. No value in that. None whatsoever. You know what the Lord did? He lay down under a juniper bush and went to sleep. Sound like he's scared to death, don't it? Oh, I tell you, we try to put on a show. And sometimes we try to put on a show of how strong we are and how great we are and how mighty we are and how we'll just die for the Lord.
Yeah. Why, you don't want to die for the Lord.
He laid down and Almighty God sent him a meal. And He gave him some more rest. And He sent him another meal. And he went in the strength of that meal for 40 days. I tell you what God can do. God could give you some strength today to help you along life's journey. You have no idea what's going to happen between now, our friend, and the 4th of August. No idea. No idea what's going to happen. But I tell you, God could give us a meal today to prepare us for the journey that lies ahead.
That's right.
I believe He wanted to encourage the church in James today. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, there's much produced in the prayer of an effectual, fervent prayer, that burning prayer, that prayer that's stirring on the inside. Friend, that prayer of a righteous man, do I have any righteousness? I have none. Do you have any righteousness? You have none. But thank God I do have this. I do have faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I do have faith that he ripped the veil from the top to the bottom. I do have faith that he arose from the dead. I do have faith that he said, come unto me boldly. All you that are weak and heavy laden, I come unto me and I'll give you rest. I do have faith in the Word of God.
Right. Amen. What are we going to do? Are we going to go around, as Mickey says, with the mully grubs day after day after day after day, and be defeated by the devil, and be defeated by sin, and be defeated by our pride, and be defeated by the world? Or are we going to surrender unto God and beg God to come? Oh, Lord, how would you burn? I tell you what God can do. God can get us to the place that we will pray. God can get us to the place, our friend, that our heart, our friend, is it's so burdened and so troubled and so sorrowful. You know what you'll do? Oh, God, would you help me? Right here's a place you can find some help. Right here.
Right.
Right here. Do we have sins? Most likely we've got sins. Sins we need to repent of. Sins we need to get rid of. I believe you said this in Kevin. Kevin read it this morning in Proverbs. About covering our sin. He said this also in Proverbs, if I can find it. Give me just a minute. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If I hide iniquity in my heart, thou wilt not hear me. You know what I'm going to have to do? If I expect God to hear me, to anoint me, to encourage me, to strengthen me, I'm going to have to acknowledge who I am and what I am. I'm going to have to acknowledge that I need God's help. I'm going to have to acknowledge, friend, that I have fallen by the wayside in my interest for the things of God.
Right.
We had somebody here today to talk about money. I believe you could wake up. I do. I believe you'd wake up. See, we're talking about trying to get help and encouragement from God, and people are sleeping through the service. You talk about encouragement. Friend, to stand up here and see the church asleep, and I tell you, that's encouraging. You know what I better do? I better look to somebody to give me some help. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's what we'd like, isn't it? We'd love to have the mercy of God. We'd love to have the anointing of God. And know this, the church has got the anointing oil, folks. It does. Now, am I reading it wrong? I'm going to read it one more time. And call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Now you tell me this. Is this oil in a little bottle? The church has this oil in them. The Holy Spirit of God. The encouragement. God can help. Through the church can help another member of the church that's down and out and sick. The church can help one another.
Right.
Now Elijah prayed. And you know, I believe I'm correct. It don't say how long he prayed over in Kings, does it? It don't say how long the famine was. It don't say how long that there was no rain. Right? But James tells us 3.5 years. Now just think. And you know why he prayed that? He prayed that because he was jealous for God. He prayed that because people were going away and worshiping everything that you could think of except God. He prayed that God would bring Israel down. He prayed that Israel would realize that the God that Elijah was praying to on Mount Carmel after 3.5 years was the God that can bring the blessings down. You see the spiritual implication that was going on in Elijah's day? Israel was far away from God. They forgot how to pray. They didn't have a song. I tell you, all their songs and all their praise was for Baal and for the prophets of the grove and for the prophets of Baal. That's who was getting all the praise. They were getting all of it. The king and Jezebel, they were all wound up with that crowd. But I tell you what's going to happen. Elijah's going to pray, and friend, God's going to shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. We have no idea what this country would look like. We have no idea what it'd look like in a year with no rain. You talk about destruction. But I tell you what he did. He went back to the mountain and he prayed on Mount Carmel. And do you know what happened? And the earth brought forth her fruit. Why did he take the church and the elders and the people that are sick and put Elijah right in the middle of it? Because it all goes together. Yeah. Here's, you know what you and I could have? We could have the fruit of God in our life again, couldn't we? You talk about desolate. Don't you imagine that it was a desolate place? Yeah. They went far and wide. Ahab went far and wide that he might find enough water, a little something to feed his horses, yeah, right, his camels. They covered the country. And I tell you, Elijah went up on the mountain and he said, God, you let them know that you're the Almighty. You let them know that you're the God of Israel. Lord, you let them know and you let rain come down. And he ran from Mount Carmel into the city in front of the chariot. And the rain was coming down. And the earth... What's the earth? I believe that'd be us. And the earth brought forth her fruit. What fruit? Fruit of God. Fruit of prayer. Fruit of confession. Fruit of saying I'm a sinner. Fruit of saying that I don't have any strength. Fruit of saying I'd like to go on, but I just don't know how. But I tell you what God could do. God could give you some fruit that comes through prayer, a friend, and trusting in God, calling for the church to pray for you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God upon our lives again. We could have some fruit of God. So he was just like me. He was just like you. And he got depressed. And he got afraid. And he got to feeling sorry for himself. And yet he was a man of power. He was a man of great power. He was a man who had an audience with God Almighty. What about that? That a man could have an audience with God. That a man could have a meeting with God. Preacher, that was Elijah. He said, you're just like him. Is that right or not? So who are we discounting? Who are we saying that can't? I tell you, I can't, and you can, but I tell you what, if I can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You're dragging the bottom today?
God help you.
Why don't we find some help? Why don't we get some help today?